everybody, and welcome to the Hockey Writers Live tonight. I'm your host, Chris Wassel. For now, I am flying solo. That's right. Phone number to call in. Just kidding. Would I ever be really flying solo on this show? Would the Hockey Writers ever trust me to do a show by myself? Speaking of, we, of course, bring in co-host of the show, Joshua Smith. Good evening.
Evening. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing very good right now. For the next hour, I will be the most incorrigible, arrogant person on earth.
So this is different than all the other hours.
Exactly.
All right.
I've earned that right after the things that I've heard and said and everything else on the program. Have an interesting show tonight. This is going to be different. I tend to scour out the unique in hockey coverage, and there's a reason why. We're the Hockey Writers. The goal of the Hockey Writers is simple, is not to write or do something that is ordinary and boring and blah, 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 blah. We're here to try to entertain you. Let's be honest. I'd be lying if I wasn't. But we're going to have some fun with this. I mean, look, my goal is to bring on the best and brightest. It doesn't matter if they're in Pee Wee, Phantom, NHL, KHL, the Mongolian Hockey League. One exists, really. My goal is to bring on different guests each week, give a little variety for everyone, and then I traumatize my poor co-host to death with some remix of a sound clip that he'll have to hear for the next, I don't know. Look, that part doesn't matter. October, as everybody knows, is normally Hockey Fights Cancer Month. Here on the show, we're big supporters of it. Chris has personally donated on behalf of the show, which is why the budget has been blown this month. Darn. But we have put into several clauses. Chris also last month wrote in on behalf of the American Cancer Society, rode a race through the streets of Josh, not quite your old stomping grounds, but all the way from about the Atlantic Highlands all the way down to Manasquan and
wow.
Back. Yeah, 55-mile bike ride of death. By the way, my back is still hurting from that thing, and that was 2.5 weeks ago. Nasty, brutal bike ride for somebody that weighs 190 pounds or so. Just say. All right, let's get this going. I'm going to bring in Timmy, then I'm going to bring in our guest. Good evening, Mr. Rosenthal. How are you doing?
For a suicide watch at the Zakin Bridge and the even the Longfellow Bridge after that miserable Patriots loss.
Ah, Timmy. This would be like the Bruins blowing a 3-0 lead in the third period and losing in regulation. Definitely a tough one, no question about it. But all right,
for 2011, obviously.
Absolutely. Here's the thing, and I said this. We're hurting in the hockey world right now, as some people know. But are we really? Yeah, I know the AHL is a far cry from the NHL. I understand that. God, that's all I've heard of. In the last week, guys. Yeah, it's great we can watch all these things, but it's awful. At least you're still watching hockey. Look. When my open letter to Hockey Fans Part 2 comes out sometime later this week. No, I'm not shamelessly plugging this thing. There's a lot of tough reality for hockey fans out there. Hockey fans are really going to go, what the heck is going on here? People have to seriously sit there and think. They really do. But we're going to touch on that a little later in the show. We're going to bring on right now a man who needs little or no introduction. We went far and wide here on this. We're going to bring in Mr. John Hutchin right now. His brother you may know a little bit better, especially Timmy. Sean Hutchin, as we all know. Speaking of Sean, hi, Sean, who's in the chat room. We bring in John right now. Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
You guys there?
How you doing, John? We sure are. We're rolling.
Nice. Yeah, Sean's actually my father, though, not my brother.
You know what? I meant to ask that. All right, Josh and Timmy, I'm going to just sit there and just feel a massive amount of shame now.
I think we should take that one over.
Yeah, I know. I should get my dunce cap out for this. But
I mean, this show is edited anyway, so.
Yeah, I know. Sean, I'm sorry if you'll ever forgive me. I guess the first round, two rounds, three rounds, and maybe more rounds are on me. man, this is going to cost a lot of money. I didn't think it was going to, but. All right, Josh. I know it's not for the cause, but I have to ask you, to be honest. Now, I know you're coach of an under-18 team. How is the lockout impacting you, first and foremost?
You know, our guys, it doesn't – I mean, it hurts not to be able to watch hockey, but I think that's pretty much the extent of it for us and for myself. You can't watch the NHL guys, but at the end of the day, we can still go to the rink every weekend and coach a game or, you know, a couple times a week go watch some junior hockey or college hockey or even the U18 guys play. So, you know, like I said, it leaves a void as far as games not on TV and games not at the Garden. But for me personally and for the team, it doesn't affect us all that much.
Now, here's the fun part. I always had the toughest time pronouncing things. Now Timmy and Josh can attest to this. I butchered. I'm still butchering Harley, the guy from the Florida Panthers. Philip Koff's name I've been mispronouncing since the Stone Ages. So if I get this wrong, yeah, I know. Just don't take a machete to my head. Just get ugly. The Neponset Valley River Rats. Now,
yeah.
River Rats right. alone gets my attention because, well, you know, River Rats, Red, Albany, perhaps. This is the one thing that everybody knows. October, Cancer Month. There's not much more that needs to be said. You have a pretty big event going on. I can see that by the Facebook numbers of a lot of people going. Could you tell us a little bit of what it's about?
Yeah. Next Sunday, the 21st of October, we're going to be hosting a Cancer Awareness Day at Foxborough Sports Center. Our U16 team will play at 11:40 a.m. and our U18 team plays at 1 p.m. And all the proceeds from donations and raffle items and 50-50 are going to be donated to the Dana-Farber Institute up here in Boston. And just a way to kind of reach out. Last year we did a little game, Pink the Rink Night, I guess you could say, last year around this time. But this year we wanted to build on it, to expand on it, and kind of came up with the idea of doing a two-game event and trying to get GBL Bruins that were playing or one of the rivals. So good to get them in the building and get a little buzz going about the game anyway. And then we were able to bring in some sponsors like TSR donated tape, and the Jimmy Fund is going to be giving us some banners and all that stuff to put up around the rink. So any proceeds that we bring in, we're going to donate right to the Dana-Farber for cancer research.
Right. And there are a ton of cancer causes out there, and it's tough. Obviously, Ross Benander, who is covering the Texas Stars tonight, I believe, for enjoying the home opener, lucky dog, gets to watch hockey and it's somewhat close, is doing his own Hockey Fans Fight Cancer. Everybody seems to be doing something, and you don't want to trivialize a cause, any cause like this. But, you know, I just hope, for the sake of hope, that people understand how important this is. Cancer is not going away anytime soon. If you've known anybody in your family, and whether it's immediate or your extended hockey family, et cetera, it's affected you in some way. It really has. And I can't emphasize enough the cause. Whether you donate a dollar, $10, hundreds, it doesn't matter. You are donating money to a cause that is, I wouldn't say a never-ending fact, because we hope someday there's a cure for all forms of cancer, but a fight that many people really are active, more than we ever know. And I have to ask you, John, first and foremost, can I ask this? How much have you guys raised so far?
How much? What's that?
How much have you raised so far?
We've raised close to $1,000 so far. And our goal for the entire event, including the gate fees and the raffles and whatnot, was $2,000. So we're hoping to surpass that next Sunday at the game. So we're getting there.
And like I said, it's not the amount that matters. I mean, yeah, sure, it's nice. But this is something where it's the thought that matters. The goal is and awareness, of course. Awareness may be even bigger, guys, to be honest. I've said this to John. I've said this to Timmy, and I said this to Josh. I lost my grand aunt to cancer. My mom recently dodged a very large bullet. We thought for sure she had cancer. One of the biopsies even came back positive, which my mom is nervous with anything near a doctor as it is. And fortunately, they did a second biopsy, and it was negative. My mom smokes. It doesn't help. But the point is, we keep saying it again and again. You know somebody that has gone through this. And, you know, if you're in the area at all, Timmy, do you have any questions at all for John?
Knowing the area pretty well, I'm about 10 or 15 minutes away from it. Just some just suggestions for alternative routes other than Route 1, because obviously we've got the Patriots game on Sunday against the Jets.
How to get there, different ways to get to the rink.
Yes.
The way I go, I stay away from Route 1, and I end up going 95 south to Exit 8. Right off Exit 8 there's some back roads. The address of the rink's 10 East Belcher Road in Foxborough. And like I said, I get off Exit 8, and it's probably 5 minutes off the highway from there, off 95.
Okay.
All right. Now, obviously, John, now this is the other part. This is the more fun part, because they ask the fun questions here on the show. We're going to give you tough questions, we promise. You know, so go easy on you. It's your first time on the show. We wouldn't throw some crazy tough questions out there. But as somebody who has played under 18 hockey like myself, although this was many years ago, and now I couldn't even barely skate anymore. But what is it like for your guys now as compared to, say, what it was like for you skating?
Well, I think the attention has grown. These guys are committing so much younger now. I played U18 hockey just probably 10 years ago, and it wasn't too common to see guys 14, 15 years old committed to a Division I school. And now, you know, just in this area alone, we have probably five or six kids born in 1997 who are committed to Division I colleges. So, the awareness of the kids and the exposure that the kids are getting now at such a young age is certainly different than it was in the past. And I think it adds you know, a little element of pressure to the kids too. At young ages, 14, 15, 16 years old, and then by the time they hit 17 and 18 to play U18 hockey, they, you know, they have the limelight on them, and they're well-known commodities in the hockey world for these kids.
Now, the team itself, and I did a lot of work on this. It was, I sat there and I started talking to you earlier in the week, and I quickly realized I know a little bit about the team because of Timmy, ironically. You know, being close enough to the area, I started doing some research, and then I realized, my God, I don't know nearly enough to do an interview. So I went back, looked, and realized quickly how good this team is. I'm amazed because, to be truthful, John, the development team I was on was not this good. Not only you guys ranked in the top five in the nation, I believe Sean just chimed in number three. To be honest, looking very good.
We're getting there, yeah.
Hey, better than some of the teams I was on, where literally you could barely put together a first line.
No, absolutely. I mean, we have a good group of guys this year. A lot of kids that they kind of bought into our system early on and want to work for each other. And I think that's the biggest thing with a fall hockey team. It's tough to bring them together as a group when they only see each other on Saturdays and Sundays. But these kids really care about each other. They like to win, and they want to be successful players and individuals too. So, like I said, they've hats off to the kids, because it's them that that make me look good every weekend.
All right. Now, since you've gone through it, obviously, and gone through the rigors of under 18 hockey, for the people that don't know, you touched on it a little bit during the answer to the last question, where, you know, early on the chemistry may not quite be there. What are the differences, say, between early in the season and later in the season that you notice as a coach?
It's actually funny. I mean, our guys, we bring them in late August, right before they all go back to school, and 19 of the 20 kids on our team attend prep school and live at school during the week. So we bring them in August, and they have to – they come out, I think, 9 days, 10 days with us. They live together. You know, some of the local guys take the out-of-town kids in for that week or 10 days, and we skate together. We played 11 games in 10 days this preseason. So the beginning of the year, they pull it together, and then we usually always kind of – lull out a little bit in the middle of the season, and then they kind of, once the ice goes back down at their prep schools, they're able to pick it back up again and pull it all together. But I mean, for the most part this year, our guys have done a pretty good job as far as staying in shape and taking care of themselves at prep school, and being able to come back even after, you know, 5 days, 6 days off the ice, they're able to come back and play as a group pretty well. But I think, you know, as the season goes on and as we progress, you can tell up until the middle of November, and you can kind of see right about now, you know, the ice went in for a lot of these kids last week. So they've been skating for 5 days. About now to the end of the season, the games kind of ramp up a little bit. The pace starts to pick up. They play a little cleaner. They, you know, the passes are a little crisper. So, they're getting ready for their prep school seasons too, but you know, we're also getting ready to hopefully win a state championship at the same time too.
Yeah, I realize it's not necessarily the easiest process, so that's why I wanted to ask, because I remember the season being, you felt like at first you were being just dropped in from about 30,000 feet and went, oh, here's my team.
Yeah.
Okay, where we haven't skated really all summer. We're supposed to play for 3 months like this. We only really get to see each other on the weekend. And we're expected to do pretty well here because we got a lot of sponsorship and a lot of pressure on us. Okay.
Yeah.
And yet, these kids produce at such a high – that's what I'm amazed at, the high level more than anything. What are you most amazed about with these kids, John?
I think their level of dedication for these kids that, I mean, we got guys from Salisbury School down in Connecticut to come up every weekend, and, you know, that's a 2.5-3 hour drive. We got guys coming up from Deerfield, you know, 2 hours out in central Mass. We have guys coming down from Kimball Union up in New Hampshire. You know, that's another 2.5-3 hour drive for them. So it's really the amount of commitment these kids put in that that blows me away year after year, that they, I mean, they could easily pick a closer team to their school or a closer league maybe, but because of our past history and the luck we've had with moving guys on, they want to come down and play, and they kind of do everything they can to make that happen. So whether it's, you know, mom and dad getting in the car to go pick up at an afternoon at Salisbury to drive them all the way back, or you know, a family opening their house to the kids so they can stay there for the night on Saturday night and play again Sunday, or even the guys that that make the trips, you know, they don't have any excuses every weekend. They're always at the rink, and we always want to play and compete and give themselves a chance to get that scholarship or, you know, to win a hockey game. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that amazes me is just the level of dedication these kids bring to it.
Timmy, Josh, are there any last questions you have for Mr. Hutchin?
Nothing else for me other than just a comment. I think it's a great thing what you're doing for charity, and I certainly hope to make the trip a few miles from my place, and hope to see you next Sunday.
Absolutely, Timmy. I appreciate it, and definitely pull me aside, and look forward to seeing you there.
Sounds good.
All right, John, thank you very much for coming on. I hope you guys are – it's not just saying I hope you raise a lot of money, but I hope that it's a success, that, you know, events like this continue to be a success, and good luck to the team and the rest of the season.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, John. You have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Folks, well, like we said, you can go on the page on Facebook. The event is called River Rats Cancer Awareness Day, brought to you by the Neponset Valley River Rats, coached by John Hutchin. And if you're up in the area at all, you're up near Foxborough Sports Center next Sunday, go, please. Not just saying to go donate some money, this, that, and the other thing. Just go. It's a good cause, run by very good people. We promise you'll have a good time.
And if not, you can look for Timmy while you're there.
You can look for Timmy. Timmy will definitely be there, and hopefully enjoy it. Like I said, switching gears as we always do in the show, phone number to call in is 1-347-826-7358. Events that have kind of happened today and, flowed in. By the way, folks, if in the chat room, if you do have some problems with the show coming in and out, we apologize. Just refresh the link. It should knock you right back in. As with anything, sometimes there's little gremlins along the way that we often do not expect here on the Hockey Writers Live. But coming up about 8:35, we will have George Richards from the Miami Herald. Timmy, I will get to finally ask the age-old question. What was it like in Miami when Adam Henrique scored?
Being just the Devils fan that you are. What I want to know, though, is how he felt when he was attacked by, Colin Coward. And I want to know how the flower show he covered the next day was.
You know what? That is one that I would think that we would have to ask.
Yeah.
Now, look.
And here I thought you were just going to talk to him about the pronunciation of player names.
No.
Usually saved for the 1999 version of the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh boy, there's some folks. There are brutal. There are teams that just have a string of players of brutal. Okay, so that's for another show, honest.
What, a basketball show?
Maybe. But you know, we do have a lot to talk about, guys. Honest, we do really. Yeah, the AHL season started. My team still stinks on the penalty. All right, I'm going to say this. I watched the Manchester-Albany game last night. It felt like Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals all over again. It really did. I have to be honest.
Some player and team interest and overlap in the guys in the lineup, but it's great if AHL hockey is at that level already.
I think it was more just because of the officiating, to be honest. You hate to even go game one and go officiating, really. But I will always be frustrated by the trip and dive call until time ends.
Which seems to happen a lot in college hockey.
Right, and I know they were trying to crack down on that this year. So the end of the season goes on, how that pans out. By the way, your icebreaker champions for this year, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That was a lot of fun to watch. Now, for the record, I did mute it. I can't watch Pierre McGuire. I just can't. I tried. It was horrible.
Was he really between the glass, or was he up
in
the booth?
At times.
That's what it is. Even the broadcast crews can't have anybody in the same room as him. They just have to keep him between those panes of glass, between the benches. That's the only place that anybody can seem to tolerate too much Pierre McGuire.
Please, just someone hire him as a general manager already.
We don't care if it's NHL, AHL, KHL, EIHL, that's right, the English League, the Australian Junior League. We really don't care.
I'll send him to the Mongolian Hockey League.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. But much apologies. We're trying to get the chat room back. Gee, Timmy, we finally did it. The fifth episode, we finally crashed the switchboard.
Only took us 5 episodes. I told you guys to take the under.
Man, but look.
So, Chris, you had Albany and Manchester on. Have you guys been watching any of the other leagues or any other action so far with our lockout-deprived NHL?
You know what's funny,
Josh? I got to put Barry Melrose on mute during when I devote the KHL matchup this week. Other than that, and a couple of Northeastern games online.
Oh, that's not good, Timmy.
Actually, they do put a pretty good webcast together. And I think you should check it out on home game days anyway. It's gonu.com.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask the dumb question, Timmy?
What?
Is the stream better than an AHL broadcast?
Much. It's not a dumb question at all.
Now the first issue that came from this weekend, and this literally was all over Twitter, and you heard this from just about every hockey fan that ordered games or ordered the whole package or et cetera, and I think Sean Leahy said it best. Classic Leahy tweet from TwitLonger, which allows you to go more than 140 characters. First thing he said, I went on the site. I looked at AHL Live. I looked at their early bird schedule. I pulled out my credit card from my wallet, was about to click the order button, and realized it was $350. I put back my credit card into the wallet. I turned off the computer in disgust, and I walked away. Quote Sean Leahy.
At that price, I can't blame him. I mean, it's one thing for it to be on par with NHL feeds, but when you're looking at a lower level league, no offense intended to the AHL. That's charging nearly twice as much as the NHL for a lower quality stream. It's baffling, really, especially given the lockout and the eyes out there looking for hockey games to watch. That, you know, if you were even making it somewhat competitively priced, you'd have an audience out there that would be jumping all over it. But instead, you're giving them sticker shock, and people are saying, okay, there's no NHL. I'll watch the AHL. And this is just way too much to spend to watch the AHL. And either they go somewhere else or they walk away from hockey for a little while.
Right. And don't think this is just the AHL. Oh, no. No. This is just not the AHL. The OHL is about $289 for a whole season. Now, keep in mind, this is the whole season, all the games. Home games, away games, your, you know, fringe league team that's like 2-20 already. All the games. WHL, same. I don't know what the price off the top of my head on the Q was, because I'm able to actually stream the QMJHL games. Patrick Waugh would probably sue me if I told him which sites. But here's the thing, and this is for every fan out there. Look, I know it hurts. I understand this. You know, the NHL lockout, presumably they're supposed to meet Tuesday. There may even be a proposed offer on the table sometime this week.
Really?
Supposedly. I'm still hearing mid-November, if it happens at all. Again, right around Thanksgiving. Does this sound familiar?
What's the proposal going to be? Another trade rumor?
I don't know. I really don't. I can't see you doing that, Chris Walker.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, George. I guess the first one we fire off from the starboard bow here is, how you doing with the lockout?
Everything is good, you know. It is what it is. You know, just hanging out. There's nothing to do, so. Just like everybody else.
I'm telling you, for somebody down in South Florida, and of course I know a vast contingent of people down in South Florida that just love me so much after April 20-something or another. I've got to say, you guys have handled it pretty well down there as far as the lockout. You know, some things that didn't go as well as people expected, say, with the organization laying off a mascot, but...
Yeah, I don't know where you want me to go with this. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, there's 30 teams in the league. Everybody's dealing with it. I mean, the Panthers had some layoffs. I don't think it had anything to do with the lockout, because they did it 2 days after the lockout happened.
Right.
I don't know. What do you want me to say? I mean, I don't. I really don't know what you're asking me.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it was like, I think it was more the timing that it caused a lot of anger.
Sure. I mean, those were moves that they could have made in June or July or, you know, whatever, and then to throw the lockout into it. And, you know, some of those moves they made were, you know, people in the building and you know, like you said, the mascot was laid off. I mean, you know, I guess they didn't need him anymore, but... it's a business, and, you know, I haven't seen too many other teams with the layoffs. I know some teams are doing, like, paycheck rollover or whatever. They take, like, 10% of your salary or something like that, and that's what happened during the NBA. You saw that a lot. But the longer this thing goes, I think the more people you're going to see, you know, lose their jobs just because the money's not coming in. Now, some teams are probably saving money by not playing because you don't have to make payroll. You know, the all the money you got to pay the players, but there's also not revenue coming in. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, this is where, you know, I sit there and go, okay, they canceled the first 2 weeks. I missed a few games. I looked forward to the rematch at Florida, let's be honest. Florida exposed more Swiss cheese in the Devils penalty kill than any team I've ever seen all year. It was one of the more hard-fought series that I had seen throughout the playoffs. I've got to ask you, George, the what if. If you guys had gotten past New Jersey, how far do you think you could have gotten?
But when you say you, I assume you're talking about the Panthers?
Of course.
Because I don't work for the Panthers. I mean...
Right.
Oh, the Panthers? I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, who would have thought New Jersey would go to the NHL Finals? I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I mean, that's the great thing about hockey playoffs is, as long as you're in, it doesn't matter if you're the one seed or the eight. You know, you get hot and you can do all kinds of things. I don't think anybody saw, New Jersey getting out of the second round, and they seem to do so fairly easily. I don't know if the Panthers would have done that. That's what a lot of people down here think. Well, if New Jersey could do it, well, the Panthers could have done it. I don't know if it works out that way. Those were two different teams. The way Brodeur played in those games, I don't know if the Panthers would have gotten that goaltending. And you don't know, the fourth line for New Jersey, the goals they scored, would the Panthers have gotten that? Right? Who knows? So, yeah, it's hard to say, especially in a game like hockey. I think maybe in other sports you could say, well, if we would have won that, we could have done this, and this. I think hockey is just so different that, the matchups just dictate what's going to happen. It's just very different.
I think with the playoffs, too, you sit there and it's sort of just you almost ride the wave, but not everybody rides the same wave at the same time. And several of your readers asked me first and foremost, okay, one, when is George coming on the show? Two, what, are you going to ask George this question, this question, this question? Now, obviously, with no hockey right now, you're doing a lot of other things. And I remember you saying something that you may have reconnected with another sport near and dear to your heart because of the lockout.
I did?
Yeah, I think you something about college football, perhaps.
Oh, well, I never had to reconnect with college football. That's,
Okay, maybe you said that.
Yeah,
I know I saw it on Twitter the other day. I think it was yesterday.
Instead of being at the morning skate, I was tailgating. Yeah, man, absolutely. you do what you got to do. Instead of covering hockey, I was barbecuing with my buddies.
Yeah, for me, it's a little bit different because I cover fantasy hockey for Sirius if there was a season. And I do a little bit for the Devils as well, but I gotta be honest. I found myself, it's like, okay, well, Notre Dame doesn't come around to New Jersey this year. It's usually once every few years.
Right.
College hockey Princeton doesn't start until, okay. The River Rats are a 4-hour drive. And found myself going to a football game last week because what else was there at the time?
Well, and that's the problem. I think hockey needs to acknowledge that. There is other stuff. I know you want to watch hockey and maybe you can't watch college hockey or whatever, but you're going to find something else to watch. And I think there are a lot of hockey fans who are diehards and, I don't like this because it's not hockey and I don't like that because it's not hockey. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to watch something, and if there's no hockey, you're going to end up watching something else. And I think the NHL and its owners have taken fans for granted, and they think everybody's just going to come back. And then you know what? Because they will. They can charge you $150 for a ticket, and you're going to pay it. They'll charge you $35 to park, and you're going to pay it. And they know it. So, whatever. But at some point, people are going to say enough, I think, and start watching other things. And this is the third straight. This is the third straight time a CBA has expired, and it's the third straight time they've had a lockout. I've just never seen anything like it. I mean, the NHL has lost more games than any the other major sports combined. That's not good business.
No, I think it was almost about 1,700 games lost. It was like 1,690.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, right?
And now you added another 82, so that's 1,780. And you figure sometime this week, when Michael Grange and the guys from New York, reconvene from these negotiations that are alleged to happen on Tuesday, that we're going to lose another segment of games.
Yeah, they're going to be canceling more. I mean, we're not going to have any games in October. That much is for certain. Maybe November we'll get going again. I just think that they're going to make the players eat two paychecks, maybe three. And then maybe serious negotiations, because they're not talking about anything substantial. They're talking about stupid stuff. All that stuff that they're talking about now is going to go out the window. This thing is about money. That's all it's about. It has nothing to do with 10 years for this or 6 years for that. All that crap is crap. That stuff gets figured out. It's the money that's on the table right now. When they come to an agreement on that, they'll do whatever they want.
Yeah, one of the first things I think was fun that I talked to with a couple sports law guys, and one Vicki Godwin, of course, because she's a pretty good law professor herself in her own right, is this. We're not even at the start of halfway decent negotiations. We're not even close. I mean,
no, they haven't even started. No, don't even kid. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't kid yourself. I mean, they not even close. They haven't started anything yet.
They're deciding more if they want Chinese or seafood for lunch.
That's all window dressing. That's all it is. Once they start serious negotiations and once they figure out that it's going to be a 52-48 split, then we'll have hockey again. Until then, they're just all dancing around the issues.
It's kind of funny because also, George, I don't know if you've seen it because I've kind of been the same way where it's like, okay, I do my hockey show. I appear on this. I appear on that. And other than that, watch a little hockey and do some writing. It's about it.
Mm.
There's people that have written, this is how you fix the lockout. I've got to be honest, George. Is there really even a point in writing it? We all know it.
Yeah, no, I don't. Well, people have to, still have to do, fill their pages, But, yeah, it's just senseless. I mean, we all know what it's going to take, to say anything otherwise and to quote Gary Bettman, to quote Donald Fair, give me a break. Get to the tables. When they want to, they will. That's the thing. When they want to sit down and really negotiate, they will. They're not at that point. So I don't know why everybody's worried about it.
Chris, you can't
change it. There's nothing you can do. They're going to do it when they want to.
I think the other problem with people finding ways to fix the lockout is right now neither side is hurting so much that they want to fix it. They both want to stick to their guns, and they want to try to – not take that logical split down the middle or negotiation, or even if there were a mediator or an arbitrator who's going to help decide. They want to hold tight to what they've got because they're fighting the battle. And right now the losses aren't so great that either one of them is willing to cave. And, they both think that they've got the right answer. So I think anybody who thinks they can solve the lockout is speaking from a logical business mindset. And I don't think either side right now is thinking from that point of view.
No, absolutely not. I agree with you on that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me at least, and I'll say this, George, I have to laugh at this. My girlfriend renews her season tickets in August, and they upgraded her and everything. She's actually paying a little bit less, and she goes, "All right, first question. This was in August. How much of a season is there going to be, Chris?" Looked at my watch, told her, we'll see you about Thanksgiving. So far, if I put you on the spot, George, do we see hockey around Thanksgiving?
I've been saying that's the date I've been pointing to. I hope so. I don't know. I mean, like I said, when these two sides decide to get serious and sit down and do some actual negotiation, you know how long it's going to take when they do this? A day or two. It's not going to take long. Once those two sides decide to start negotiating, it'll get done. I mean, I know the CBA is a big, long, complicated
document and all that. I think the last one was 145 pages, and, you know, there's already been 10,000 pages of documents going back and forth. But, yeah, I could see them playing by Thanksgiving. I think they need to be playing by Thanksgiving. They're not missing anything right now. The hockey season, truthfully, is too long. You shouldn't be playing hockey in October because nobody's paying attention except for diehard hockey fans. People go to opening night. Aside from Montreal, Toronto, and a handful of other places, the buildings are empty. Nobody's paying attention. You got the baseball playoffs. You got the NFL. You got college football. You don't need to be playing hockey in October. Nobody makes any money off it. They're not losing any money right now by not playing it. You start up in November, people are talking about your game. Everything's good. They're at the Thanksgiving table talking about how the Bruins did, how this game went, how that game went. That's what you need to be relevant. Not playing in October right now, it's not hurting either side. Some players are losing money. Some teams may be losing money. Some other teams may be doing okay with it. I don't think anybody really needs to start concerning themselves until November comes. If they're still not talking in November, then it's time to start getting concerned. But I didn't think they'd start talking in October anyway.
No, I got to be truthful.
Why not talk in October? Yeah. Why not talk in July and September if you're going to
wait
until October?
Exactly.
So
they had time.
They didn't do anything about it. And we need side blaming each other. So.
Right. You know, they supposedly said that they were going to start and you know they're not going to start negotiating early. And no matter what they try to say and try to put a positive spin on it, you just can't. The next one is this. Okay, if an 82-game schedule is too long, George, how much is just right?
70. I would think 70 is okay. I mean, honestly, 82 games is too long. Although I know, we get down the last week and everybody's fighting for that one point to get into the playoffs, but it's a grind, man. When you start training camp in September and you're playing games in October, you know, do it like the NBA. I know the NBA plays 82 games, but, you know, in the same amount of time. Obviously, that's a little less strenuous physically. I don't know, 72 games would be fun. 82 is a little too much. I mean, the season just takes way too long.
Yeah, I agree with you there, both in the number of games, and you wouldn't want to pack them in any tighter. But, you know, when the Stanley Cup's being awarded way after Memorial Day weekend in the middle of June and kids are out of school, especially with those NBC games, there's nothing more painful than spending a June Sunday afternoon watching a hockey game on a Sunday. I mean, that's not hockey season. That's not a time for hockey, at least to me. And it just feels like we should have stopped
the NBA as well. So.
Yep.
Right. I mean, the first question, it was funny. We asked Marty Brodeur after game five, because I was with Dan Rice and Tom Galitti and a few others as we were sitting in the locker room. And mind you, it felt like Miami in the locker room. You know, there's something wrong in that in of itself. You know, 95 degrees in the locker room because it's June and it's about 100
on the air. Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, some of those games you go to in the summer, it's just, you know, you have to wear shorts with your sweater.
Yeah. I mean, at night, literally, we said this, the first thing we remarked, you know, you got off the ice, you know, we took a peek before we left and it looked like soup. I mean, that just should not happen. You know, if there was an ideal time where you said, okay, this is the absolute cutoff for the NHL playoffs, what would it be?
What, for the playoffs?
Right.
Or for the season to start?
Say first for the playoffs, and then we'll go back into the, you know, drop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they've been playing June playoff games for a long time now. It's obviously, you know, not killing them. You know, but I don't think that's what you want. I think, you know. May is warm enough. You don't want to be playing in June, but, you know, that is what it is. That hasn't hurt. You know, the TV ratings are high. People are watching those games. You know, I don't know. I mean, I mean, the playoffs are just great. I mean, that's the beauty of having, you know, four rounds of seven, you know, best of sevens. I mean, you just got to let the things play out. And I think the NHL's done a good job of starting, you know, when two teams are decided, if they can start playing, they play, save a couple days here or there. But, you know, it's just a long, drawn-out process. The playoffs take 2 months because you've got seven-game series, and they
almost all of them go to seven. You know, you rarely see the five-game or the four-game sweeps anymore. It's just so highly competitive that it's going to take you 2 months to get the playoffs done, so you need to, you know, to start in April or whatever it is, whenever they start playoffs. You know, maybe that could be pushed back a little bit or pulled up a little earlier.
Okay, the last question, George, because you know, we have to nicely wrap things up neatly. What to you is the absolute, say, drop-dead date or week for us to have NHL hockey?
Well, when did they cancel last time? February?
It was really late because they tried
that
last.
Yeah, it was like February. So I guess you got to look at the same time. I mean, because, you know, we were talking. Yeah, it was February. Remember when Gretzky mm-hmm. and them were going to get involved? And, oh, we can save it and we can have a 40-something game season. So I guess, late January, February. That's not ideal. I mean, that sounds pretty crummy to me. You know, but I think if you can start in mid, late November, or even early December, I think that's fine. You can handle that. But after that, and you're just going to jam 40 games down people's throats, you know, I don't think that's ideal at all. But you could do it.
Yeah, we could go 95 all over again and extend it and have a Stanley Cup being awarded in the last week of June. But
yeah, that was fun.
I might have a few.
It's fun for you.
Yeah, a few stories of underage drinking from a Stanley Cup. Yeah, and that could be.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
And a trip to Boston, right, Chris?
Timmy, easy now. Absolutely, George. I obviously want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, I read your stuff at the Miami Herald quite a bit, and hopefully, when we have you on again, it's talking about actual NHL hockey and not
a little
a lot
about hockey and turkey and all the stuffing and
absolutely
trimming. Yeah, man, hockey by Thanksgiving, spread the word.
I hope so. We'll get the turkey and the stuffing, and we'll definitely talk to you again, George.
Sounds good. I'll see you.
Thank you, George. Have a great night. All right, folks, that indeed was Mr. George Richards, the one and only. What we're going to do in the last minute, we have only a minute left. Really amazingly timed here on the Hockey Writers Live, as always. Next week, for you stat geeks out there, we're going to have some fun with some numbers and research and play into the history of the league a little bit. And we're going to go into a short overtime in just a little bit. Again, you can download the show via iTunes. Just search for THW Live. You can download the show when this ends in a couple hours on Blog Talk. And, of course, you can listen to replays on the Fantasy Sports channel, as always. For John Hutchin, George Richards, and Josh Timmy, and yours truly, this is the program's, just kidding, the Hockey Writers signing off. Timmy, aloha or aloha?
Aloha, kids.